Stellar Fundraising Auctions presents Black Tie and Tails, brought to you by our partner Sojourn Ventures, featuring your co-hosts Greg Kuroga and Devon Bell. Welcome to a new season of Black Tie and Tails, where we take you behind the scenes of the wonderful world of fundraising auctions with tales of triumph and tragedy. I'm Greg Kuroga, half of your co-hosting team, joined as always by my co-host Devon Bell.
Hello, all.
And, well, we're back for a third orbit around the sun on Spaceship Earth. Thanks for joining me on this journey as ever, Devo. It's hard to believe it's already been 2 years, or hard to believe it's only been 2 years. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it both was interminable and it flew by.
I feel like the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey, where time is compressing and dilating at the same time. As
2001, that was like 2 years ago, right?
Exactly. However, you are enjoying this podcast, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. Do us a favor, hit that like and subscribe, do all the things. Interact as well. We would love to hear from you. Devo, let's kick off 2026 by taking a look back at 2025. So this episode, let's talk about the best of 2025. And sure, we'll get to exciting auction lots, and sure, we'll talk about fantastic fund-a-need pitches or testimonials. But what was the biggest trend of 2025? I mean, I didn't even need to send this to you in advance, knowing that you would say...
Oh, it was, without question, it was the paddle sweep.
The paddle sweep, the paddle drop, and on the off chance that somebody listening doesn't know what the paddle sweep or paddle drop or whatever you want to call it is, could you explain it?
Sure. So the paddle sweep happens usually at the end of the fund of need.
And if the fund of need's in the middle, then it happens at the end of your event.
Right. And you set it up kind of like... You've been so generous. You will have no further need for your paddles after this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to send out the spotters with baskets. And if you're in for, insert organization name here, for one more $100, then you don't have to lift your paddle. You can just throw it right in the basket. And then pretty typically we will sweeten the pots and say, we're going to sweeten the pot. And we do so by... One of these paddles will get drawn by the MC, the head of school, so
the
whatever.
Executive director, the kid sitting right at the front table who didn't put a paddle in.
Sure. And they're going to win this thing, a magnum of wine, a stay at a thing, a restaurant, blah, blah, blah. So it's a nice moment for everyone to kind of come together one last time. And it has like a kinetic physical quality to it.
And... I think one of the reasons it's been the trend of 2025, and I first did one in 2024 and then started recommending them wholeheartedly in 2025. And it wasn't just me, because obviously it picked up. I mean, you and everybody seemed like we're suddenly doing paddle sweeps or paddle drops. But I think the reason is that they work.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get to do a lot of A/B testing in our world. Right. I mean, even from 1 year to the next, it's a different crowd. It's different lots. It's a different political environment. Everything changes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But with the paddle drop, it almost is like an A/B test in certain respects, because you do the $100 level. Like, I've had paddle sweeps where the fund the need happened in the middle of the auction, and then the paddle drop, we're like, you need your paddles for the rest of the auction. You can't take everybody's paddles.
Right.
So we come back at the end of the auction to do the paddle sweep. And I've seen the paddle sweep do significantly better than the $100 level of the fund the need at the same, you know, same crowd, same night. Was there a single paddle sweep or paddle drop that stands out for you as the, oh my gosh, this was like, whew?
I would say just for whatever reason, like you say, stuff catches on and all of a sudden it's a thing. And I had knew of the paddle drop and had mm-hmm. done it before in years past, but it was just another thing. And I didn't even bring it up usually. And if they said it, I said, oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. No problem. But this year it was more paddle sweeps than like the last 5 years combined.
Yeah.
And it was the client coming to us very much like it had been with the runaround years past, where they go, I was at this event and we saw da da da.
And it sounds like they were at my events. And they're probably pushing really hard on paddle sweeps this year.
Cross-pollination we were doing there. I'll throw out something that is that not to get too excited about the paddle sweep, and then something that's great about the paddle sweep is that, especially if you're doing it on the last level of the fund of need, then sometimes from an X's and O's perspective, it's not really going to be that huge of a number. It's going to be the difference in $100 paddles between what you would have gotten anyway and what you are getting by doing it this way. So it's not necessarily, I mean,
that delta is significant, though. It can be significant.
If it's 25 extra paddles, if it's 35 extra paddles, that's $3,500. Maybe that's like a whole other lot for you.
I have a story for you.
Oh, yeah. And then, there's the warm and fuzzy. There's a community moment where everyone is together, and you probably use verbiage, which is, you know, grab your paddle and throw it in. Grab your neighbor's paddle at your table and help them throw it in.
No,
right? I got that from Ed, maybe. I'll say something that's great about it is it actually streamlines your program a little, because you can charge ahead once you have them out there with the baskets, and you don't call paddle numbers at the $100 level.
A line that I use is, you know, by this point in the fund the need, even I'm tired of my voice. So what we're going to do is, and we play a little song, right? You know, 24 Karat Magic or something,
sure,
you know.
Yeah.
So the story ends.
Sounds like
tell,
Nicole Krasner.
Yeah, that is Nicole. Shout out, Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole.
Working with the Housing Industry Foundation, 700 and something people, big event, and a lot of corporate tables, a lot of sponsors, a lot of industry people. And so we haven't had a lot of participation in the Fund the Need, especially at the lower levels in the past. And so this year we did a paddle sweep, and we offered 2 tickets to the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas.
Okay.
No airfare, no hotel, none of that stuff. Just here's the 2 tickets. And it's a $100 donation. You throw your paddle in the bin. And while I'm pitching this, the event planner comes on stage and she builds this, for lack of a better word, this giant plexiglass box. It's like... it's big enough for me to climb into and lay down, right? And do like paddle angels. I'm like, this is really optimistic, right? You know, like, and in the previous year, we got 27 paddles at $100. Me saying 1, 2, 3, $100, 2, 2, 2, $100, right?
And at that point, it's like the end. So it's a slog.
Right. And so we got 27 paddles, $2,700. Great. That's our bar. This year, we're bringing the paddle. I'm doing the thing, and a couple of the what helps is to have volunteers who are assertive, who are engaging, right? You don't want people you don't want people to feel like stiff-armed, like feel like they've been coerced into putting their paddle in the bin. But on the flip side, you got a volunteer who's out there going, hey, come on, one time, like if you've given, give again. If you haven't given, now's the chance. Everybody be part of this. So we start bringing paddles in. And I'm like, what? This is, I always want to know 2 things. One, how many people actually, what percentage followed through on their gift?
Right.
Right. Because when there's so many paddles, are people getting caught up in something they don't understand and then reneging on their bet? Like, oh, I didn't reneging on their donation. I didn't really want to do that. I didn't know I was doing that. I thought I was just recycling my paddle.
Right.
Right. There's one auctioneer out there who encourages people to recycle their paddles. And then they're like, wait, nobody told me that recycling cost $100
to recycle.
Right. You know, don't want to be disingenuous. Want a slide on screen explaining what it is. Put your paddle in. It's a $100 donation and a chance for this.
Yeah. But you do want to trade on a little social pressure. And
sure.
Well, like you said it perfectly. We're going to always ride that same tension, which is we want them to give when they weren't expecting to, but not to feel weary and leaned on.
And one of the things that's really good about the paddle sweep is that it gives people justification for giving again. If you've given $10,000, why would you give it $100? You don't need to be seen participating at the $100 level. That is beneath you, literally.
Right.
Right. But if there is momentum, if there is this thing, if you're part of it, so challenge grants achieve this goal, right? Having the challenge grant at the lowest level achieves this goal. Mm-hmm. And the paddle sweep achieves this goal because it gets people like, oh, we're part of a thing, right? If you give and give again. So
both ways, both socially with the FOMO and the warm and fuzzy and everyone's in it together.
Right, right.
And the, yes, I gave $10,000, but I'd love to win an overnight stay at this little inn.
I'd love to go to the Sphere.
Right.
Love dinner at the French Laundry was one of the paddle sweeps we did.
Damn, can I do paddle sweep twice?
It was a $250 paddle sweep for that one, right? Yeah, that organization went as low as $500 normally. And I'm like, hey, let's go to $250 and do a paddle sweep. So you don't have to have me call it out, but it just, and you know, did fine. So back to the Housing Industry Foundation, because this one, so 27 was the number the year before. Got 27 gifts at $100, calling them numbers out. Do the paddle sweep. $278.
How many people were at this event?
700.
Okay.
So it's a 700 person event. But it's so but participation in the paddle in the fund they need at the $100 level goes up by a factor of 10. Right, which doesn't happen every time. We're not promising if you do the paddle sweep, that's what's gonna happen. But that one's like, I literally could have climbed into that box and done a paddle angels. There were so many paddles there at the end.
What is that? 20K or something, right?
$27,800.
$25K extra.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
That is insane.
I did another paddle sweep where it was $12K extra.
Yeah. That's like, even at a big auction, that's a whole other lot.
Oh, $12K. I mean, what I said after the fact was that paddle sweep justified, like, that paid for all of my costs and then some. Like, that made everything that I did for that event profitable. Hiring me, paying for my hotel, flying me up there, and they still made lots of money just on the paddle sweep alone.
You know it was good if it paid for you.
Yeah. Don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a hell of a slouch. Before we move on, do you have any other paddle sweep stories? Like, you actually had one paddle sweep where they're like, yeah, no thanks.
I had one organization where I told them all about the paddle sweep and thought they'd lap it right up because that's the thing this year. And they ended up saying, we don't like it because it makes that last level at 100 feel like an afterthought. And it's so, and you know, everyone can feel about everything how they want to. So it's your event. Good luck to you. And I'm fine with not doing a paddle sweep. I'll tell you something else I like about the paddle sweep is, especially if you don't have a silent or an online or something.
Yeah.
It's one of those spots where you have tickets to the French Laundry, you know, dinner for two at the French Laundry, and you don't necessarily want to auction it off. It's a way to monetize a gift you already have.
Yeah, absolutely.
So paddle sweep, yeah, it'll probably be gone next year.
I don't say that. It's interesting to see how trends go, and as far as trends go, this was the biggest trend of 2020.
Yeah. They'd bring up paddle sweep and go, oh yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. That's great. I loved it when people started bringing it up to me from other places because I got it from Nicole. Mm-hmm. I've heard it from Bobby D first years ago.
Bobby D.
And I was like,
shout out.
Yeah, it sounds gimmicky. And then Nicole was like, no, we're doing this. And Nicole introduced me to it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
It worked.
It's gimmicky, not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's like saying a movie's dumb. Right. Hey, it could still be a great movie.
It could be entertaining. You know? And so we'll see. Like, you ride these trends for as long as people are into them. But I was entertained, or I enjoyed when people started coming to me. Oh, we saw this thing. We want to do this thing. We got it from somewhere else. I'm like, wow, cool. I've heard of this thing. I'm in.
Right. Well, and you know, unlike some of the other ones, like let's say the runaround, for instance, they'd bring up the runaround to us during consulting, and we go, okay, well, let's be real clear-eyed what we're doing here.
Let's talk it through.
Yeah, it's not without its issues,
right.
But with a paddle sweep, hell yeah, throw it in. Yeah, I don't care. All good.
At good times.
Wow, all good. Make it go quicker.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Sojourn Ventures Travel, a boutique travel company helping nonprofits raise more through curated, risk-free travel packages designed for auctions and fundraisers. With personally vetted destinations from Bali, Italy, Spain, and beyond, and full support from start to finish, Sojourn Ventures makes fundraising seamless and impactful. Learn more at sojournventurestravel.com.
every year I go through my list of auction lots and put from the previous year and put together my top 10 most exciting lots of the year. And you can find the link to that in the bio of this or on the website or whatever. You can find that. But this year, preparing for this podcast, I was thinking like, well, what's the one that stands out? And it's always, look, people always ask, what's the hottest lot right now? And it's one of our least favorite questions, not because we don't have experience from which to draw, but because like what's hot right now is relevant, more relevant, like what is your crowd into, right? I did a top five things you can be doing to prepare for 2026, like your next auction. And one of them was reach out to your bidders and ask them what they want to buy, right?
Yeah.
Like give, like, I used to not like it because I, you know, speaking of negative connotations, I'm like, you don't want to give the keys to the inmates, right? But you don't want the inmates running the asylum. But on the flip side, when the inmates are funding the asylum, you might want to ask them, hey, what do you want to bid on, right?
So, right. The inmates have the paddles.
Yeah, the inmates have the paddles. It's like the whole metaphor breaks down. It's just a bad, bad metaphor. We love our donors. We appreciate you all. And I've learned, like, asking you what you want to bid on, it's relevant. But thinking about what was the most exciting lot, what are the most exciting lots of the last year, like it's hard to contextualize it, right? So I think one of the most exciting lots that happened to me was exciting for many reasons, one of which was it was kind of impromptu, right? So I'm working with Little Wishes. You know Little Wishes. I'm working with Little Wishes on their gala. And right when you walk into their silent auction area, there is this, you walk in, there's a bunch of silent auction items, and one of them is a Labubu. And I have to confess that up until this point, I was not very Labubu adjacent. I had not spent a lot of time researching Labubus. I just knew that Labubu was a thing. Right. But I had no idea how much of a thing it was.
Sure. You didn't know Labubu.
Of course. And so they didn't know what Labubu was either, because they had this Labubu that came with a little chair that you could attach to the vents in your car so the Labubu could sit and watch you drive, I guess. It came with a little clothing rack.
Wait, you never actually explained what a Labubu is.
Labubu is like a little dog. I mean, if you don't know what Labubu is, like, pause, Google. I'll put a picture on the thing. But like, if you're listening to the podcast, pause, go Google Labubu or DuckDuckGo Labubu, whatever, however you find your information, look up Labubu. Labubu is like, it's like the Cabbage Patch Doll of 2025.
Like the Beanie Baby.
The Beanie
it's
Baby.
It's like a
of
Beanie Baby, a little toy.
A little toy that people accessorize with. Like Labubus have little clips. You see them attached to people's bags and purses and stuff. Like accessorizing is one of the other trends, but it's not a fundraising trend, so we're not going to talk about it. Other than to say Labubu, big trend, right? And so Little Wishes didn't know how popular this Labubu was going to be. And so, sorry.
The good stuff.
It had a clothing rack with a bunch of clothes, including a little custom-made Little Wishes sweater.
Aww.
For the Labubu, and a little Labubu scooter, right? I mean, it was like a whole Labubu thing. And they had a buy it now of $500, which... But not knowing the trend, I would have been like, oh, okay, yeah, it seems like a lot for a little doll. And a person drew the line down, wrote buy it now, and then said, like, flipped it over and said, this sold for too little. You should do something more with it. Let the bidding go on. And so they brought it to me and they said, what do you think? And I'm like, let's put it in the live auction. Like, sure, why not? Like, this is a prime opportunity. And so we took the Labubu away from the silent auction. We put it up and set it up on the stage. And at the beginning of the auction, before we got started, I said, you know, that we learn from and own our mistakes, right, in planning and on stage. And we made an egregious mistake with this Labubu. And so the person...
We made a... Labubu boo boo.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, perfect. And... I said the person who bought it now was generous enough to donate it back. So now we're going to sell this Labubu as the opening lot in the live auction. And we're going to start the bidding at, you know, $100 or whatever it was. I started below the 500, just knowing. And it gets up over 2,000. And My big bitter.
This thing is made in the Zhengzhou district of China for like the 50 cents.
Maybe 75. My big bitter, Paul, who gets the same paddle every year, he's 007. He's bidding on it, and he's bidding against the little girl.
Aww.
Gave the testimony.
Aww.
Before the auction started, who was a beneficiary of Little Wishes when she was in the hospital.
So she had some extended hospital stay.
She had an extended hospital stay, and her mom and her dad and her family were all there to watch her testify. And Paul's bidding against her and gets it all the way up to $2,800, right? And I'm thinking like, oh, Paul, please don't, right? You know, like,
well,
like,
there's one thing he could do, of course.
And that didn't cross my mind.
Okay. You're like, you are not going to outbid this little kid. Like,
and the chair who founded this event, she goes over to Paul and she leans in and she's like, you know, you got to let her have it. You got to let the little girl have it, Paul. And he's like, oh, and he like, and okay, he gives up and lets, and so the girl and her family bought it for $2,800. Oh. And it turns out that Paul's intent indeed had been to.
Right, right. That's the what I would have thought is he buys it, gives it to her in front of everybody. The crowd goes freaking nuts.
That was going to be his intent. But and I think both outcomes would have been amazing. I think the fact that she and her family were given the opportunity to contribute in a meaningful way.
Yes.
And yes. Have her take away something that was very dear to her.
Yeah.
I think that played just as well as the charity from Paul would
have. Plus she got to play the auction game and best him in your face, Paul.
Eat it, Paul. Suck it.
No laboo-boo for you, you.
it was like, in terms of exciting auction lots, like it energized the crowd because people are like, what? What is this thing? Wait, what?
Right.
Or people are like,
that don't know LaBooBoo.
People who knew LaBooBoos were like, oh, I mean, there was a lot of action at $100. And there were people who were still in it like $7 and $8. And when it topped $1,500, people were like, whoa, it's that kind of party, right? Like it achieved so many of the things that we want to happen on the first auction lot.
So no one told that little girl that in 10 years she'll be selling that at a garage sale like for a dollar.
No, we're here to make dreams, that's not break them, Devo.
Make them come true, yes. True. That's what we do here.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't say that's what we do.
Very good. Very good. Well, that is a crazy one. That's a crazy one. You know, when you were just saying about Little Wishes, I had the opportunity to do Little Wishes only because Greg, who they love so much, they call him Blanket.
Blanky.
Yeah.
Blanky. Shout out to Nurse Lori. I love you too.
I was lucky enough to work with them as well. And one of their auction lots was you got to be a member of the Little Wishes team.
Yeah.
Which you can imagine that especially post-COVID, there is a lot of regulatory and such hoops to jump through to make that happen.
Yeah.
But you get to go in with the team and be in there with the kids. And I don't remember what it sold for.
Make Little Wishes come true.
Exactly. And I don't remember what it sold for, but it was a great amount. And that's one of those ones where just completely divorced from any sort of money, you know, like right. What price do you put on that? There is no price, yeah. Because that's human joy and beauty, which is it's always fun when we get to be part of something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun also to be part of compelling fund-a-need testimonials and pitches. The other thing that we're going to talk about today or like, what was some of the most compelling fund the need pitch or testimonial or setup for a fund the need? Because I mean, you and I both, like, people ask, do you still get moved? Like, are you kidding? Like I fire me the day that I don't care. Right.
Oh yeah.
Because I still get nervous, and B, I still tear up.
I sometimes get so verklempt that I have to disengage because remember, yes. You're going up to ask for the money in 60 seconds. Get your act together.
Yeah.
Right? I definitely get
to there. There are times when I'm on stage and I'm like, oh God, I got to wipe the tears out.
Yep.
And I got to like take two steps back and breathe and find a new center so that the first words out of my mouth are no. Because
right.
Emotionally, that's where I often am.
Oh, me too. Right? I mean, you and I are both empathetic people, yeah. And we care. And, you know, when it's asking for... a new kitchen area in the teacher's lounge, maybe not so much.
Sure.
But sometimes the appeal is so compelling and poignant that you just can't not be moved, you know?
So was there one in particular this last year that you were like, oh my gosh, that was hooked up fish on? That was such a good and compelling appeal for the fund, the need, that it just like got me.
So we'll get the question. I know you get this question as well. During the consulting is what works for the appeal for the fund of need.
Sure.
And as with almost every aspect of your event, there is no right way. It's an art, not a science.
Yep.
And so is it a video with the totally evocative music? That works great. Is it someone who's a celebrity in your organization who everyone loves and they give the appeal? That works great. Mm-hmm. Do you have someone who is touched by the work you do and can tell their story and really make that link between the money they're about to give and the change they want to see in the world? That works great. So there isn't necessarily, like, is there a visual aid or something like that? There is no right way, but a video where they get to, you know, where you get to cull through the material instead of it all happening in real time and pick out the best stuff and put it to music and edit it and such. And then also having the people there live. And so I was doing an event for an Alzheimer's organization. And in the video, they had the parents and their kids who were teenagers. And so were very aware what was going on.
Young.
Yeah.
Right. Young parents, I mean, yeah. To be impacted by Alzheimer's.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was the father talking about how, you know, he so wanted to keep the disease at bay because he wanted to be there for his kids, to be a father. And then it was the kids talking about.
And this is the video.
Yeah. And then it's the kids talking about what a great dad he was and how they're so blessed for all the fathering that he already did. And that everything from here is, you know, they want him to know what a great dad he was, whatever happens from here. See me getting a little clamped because it's just brutal. And then when the lights came up, of course, they were there and they stood up. And it just captures the essence of what it is that we do.
Yeah.
Right. Is that to be able to, what an honor for us to be part of it.
Yeah.
What an honor for all those people to be part of it. And then, like, even if it's just raising your paddle and giving some money, you know, to feel like you can somehow like help with this. It's just very, very touching, very human.
One of the things I love about the Fund the Need and the work that we do, and the reason why I think we remain relevant to fundraising, is that being in person, being part of a community, being part of an oral tradition, being part of an emotional moment, making true connections with individuals in person is important to us genetically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like deep down on a deep human level, we need to connect.
Yeah.
Right. And oftentimes you see fundraising events that feel like they are that what they're doing is a disservice, so that they're making big asks of people and they're imposing. That's the word I'm looking for. You oftentimes see fundraising events that seem like they feel like they're imposing on people. And while I understand that, I would flip that around and say you're also offering people this opportunity to participate in something that is necessary, that is emotionally fulfilling, above and beyond providing the opportunity to get a great tax write-off or to support causes that are important to you. Because, right, above and beyond all of that, just on like a deeply emotional and, you know, I don't want to go too far woo-woo on it, but spiritual level, the ability to see a story. Right. So much of what we do, and we're guilty of it right now. We're doing it right now. Right now, we are sending out a freaking message that's going to go to people electronically, and you're going to watch this or you're going to listen to this. And it's testament to the fact that we crave these types of connections enough for this to be a successful means of communication. But this would be so much more powerful, no offense, if we were all sitting in a room together.
Yeah.
And it's the sitting in a room together empowering people to have an impact on their world. And let's be honest, right now, we all need to feel like we have some power in this world around us, because this world around us is chaotic.
Not only do we need to feel empowered, but we so desperately need to feel connected.
Yeah.
Haven't we all learned from COVID, from AI, from all our stupid little devices, that there's levels to this connection? And just because you have marvelous technology at your disposal that's going to connect you,
yeah,
there's no substitute for being in a space with another human being,
yeah,
and feeling their presence and them feeling yours. And I say all the time, imagine if we just did the video,
right,
with a touching song and a link of where to give, and you send it out to your donor list, you'd save so much on catering,
right?
It would save
and
so
auctioneer
much
fees and everything else.
Exactly.
But you'd also wind up saving so much on how much you spend on supporting your clients or doing the work that you do.
Yeah.
Because the ability to connect, and I mean, and you're spot on about post-COVID. Coming out of 2019, I remember thinking like, wow, kind of tired of doing galas. Right? Like, at that point I'd been at it for 15 years and I was like, the galas are starting to feel kind of the same. Mm-hmm. And then COVID, the universe is like, okay, well, I got one for you then.
You haven't tried a virtual event.
Yeah, try standing in your office and engaging people. Good luck with that, son. And so it really reinforced the power of human connection, of interpersonal connection. And I think it's a great jumping off point to wrap all of this up in a tidy bow and say, like, planning ahead for this coming year, looking at what to do in terms of your auction lots or engaging your crowd or having, what your fund need testimonial is going to be, or even down to, and we'll save this for the next episode, because the next episode is ramping up, planning for your event is like, make it human, make it personal, make your story relevant to your people through participating in the auction or being at your event or listening to the Fund the Need testimonial. But just give your event, make 2026 a year about connecting.
Yeah, really well said. Exactly. And that's right. What we're always trying to do is have a social event where people have fun, where they feel connected to one another, where they feel good about what they did, and to have them spend a little more than they expected to.
Get a little irrational, their philanthropy.
Spend a little more than they expected to, but can't wait to come to the event next year.
Absolutely.
Had so much fun.
Absolutely. And we can't wait to see you this coming year. So thank you so much for joining us for this podcast, however you got here. We appreciate you. Wish you all the best in 2026. As always,
like, subscribe, smash the button that's appropriate.
You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, and all your favorite podcast distribution channels. You can also find it at blacktieandtails.com. Until the next time, use your powers for good.
Dun, 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 dun. As always.